So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and the host of the Crude Life Radio Podcast. I'd like to thank you folks for tuning in and listening here to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and special programs. I'd like to take this time to thank our fine sponsors. Folks, The Crude Life sponsors are quality companies who have ethics at the core and have proven to be positive leaders in their community. Please support our fantastic sponsors.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
So here's to riding shotgun with the Lone Ranger. Here's to making a few friends out of a few strangers. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Welcome back to The Crude Life. My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist, and I'll be your host for this very special interview. Today we talk with Dean Bresciani, president of North Dakota State University.
Picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Obviously, the main reason for the interview is to talk about North Dakota's direction in technology. Mm-hmm. I started noticing through the energy industry that North Dakota really had a bigger role in the Bakken than I think a lot of people understood. How do you see North Dakota's role in the Bakken shale play, for example?
Well, the entire state is an opportunity, a window of opportunity that has never been opened like it has before. And there's really no place in the nation that both has the similar opportunity, but also I think motivation and capacity, with the possible exception of Texas, which there's some similar dynamics there. Two major research universities, an energy extensive economic development sector. But North Dakota has a differentiating factor, is the chance to diversify and strengthen our economy that has never historically existed for mm-hmm. this state, whereas Texas comes and goes out of that opportunity and a plethora of other opportunities. North Dakota, it's a brass ring they can grab at that they've never been able to even see before, much less grab at. And I think we're slowly, steadily coming to that realization and the role that our two research universities can have in utilizing our strength in agriculture and energy extraction as being catalysts for technology development relative to those fields, but a lot of other fields as well, and UAS would be a great mm-hmm. example of that.
North Dakota's been known for ag. Well, first off, I want to ask you about the ag-energy relationship, mm-hmm. But you're from Texas, or you spent some time in Texas. Did you grow up in Texas?
No, but okay. I got there as quick as I could, as the saying goes.
And you left.
Yes,
I'm surprised you found your way out.
I was looking for some place with better weather, and I haven't broken a sweat since I moved here.
I was going to ask if you lost a bet, but okay. I thought you bet on the... Anyway, so I've over the last year, I've been trying to explain to people that the Bakken is the real deal. Mm-hmm. The oil is there. They're drilling it at $30 a barrel right now. We're still over 1 million barrels a day. Now we might go down a little bit as the lag catches up, but I'm calling it North Texas.
Yeah.
You're from Texas. I mean, am I out of line for that?
It really is, and in some ways advantageous geologically and the location of the reserves. It's been interesting to me as somebody, my doctoral training's in finance and economics, and so when I hear the understandable North Dakotan saying, well, this is just another boom and bust cycle like the old boom and bust cycles, which is a learned behavior mm-hmm. and reaction, it's just not founded in science. As you point out, these reserves, we know where they're at. We know how extensive, I mean, in a pretty accurate way, how extensive they are. They are not going anywhere, obviously. So really the limitation and the capacities are economically based and price based and technology based. And I say economically because obviously actions by the Saudis have a major impact on the worldwide market for energy, and they can adjust pricing simply by their own behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
But when we say prices are dropping, they're dropping from all-time record levels. That, as you point out, does not mean that we are not being economically productive in the black, no pun intended. The reality is we are still extracting huge quantities of energy, and people are still making a lot of money doing it, and tax revenues from those extractions are still pouring in the state of North Dakota. So this is a bust cycle, and the notion that everything's going bad is really a misnomer. And the Saudis have already demonstrated that they understand they can't continue the behaviors they've been using because they're losing money. And that's a long-winded way of saying prices are going to play back up, and consumers won't like that. But the reality is, on the worldwide market, we're going to see it's inevitable. It's only a when, not an if, that prices will boil back up. And again, those assets are still on the ground. So even if the prices didn't boil back up for 100 years, the asset is still on the ground mm-hmm. and extractable. Unfortunately, I expect it's going to be more like 100 days than 100
yeah.
years.
You said bust cycle.
Yeah.
I've heard that a few times, and I've phrased it as, there's no more of a boom than an industry. And bust cycle was interesting to me because if this is a bust, well, we really do have an industry then. And that's why I thought we're kind of North Texas, because a North Texas bust doesn't really mean drilling stops. For some, hard to reach places. Yeah, the ones who don't make the economics works. But I was just talking with Lynn Westfall from the Energy Information Administration last week. And he said, they don't even look at oil prices. It's the manpower and the rig count and the recovery rates. That's where they make their money.
And storage capacity and transportation
Absolutely.
Capacities.
Yeah. And so
oil prices associated with both of those.
So as we bring in some of these out-of-state companies that understand that, and as they buy up some of the rookies, that's how I see it. And that's why I look at it as, I'm going to hand this company off to my son.
Exactly.
And he's going to be covering the Bakken as well.
And this is an interesting commodity price fluctuation, but it's also for the smarter players the opportunity to consume more of the market share.
Mm-hmm.
And so when prices go back up, you've advantageously positioned yourself to even be more successful. And again, the asset's just sitting there waiting to be extracted. It's not going where. It's not like a crop that's going to go bad and you have to start over. The asset is sitting there. Totally extractable. So that gets to my second aspect, which is the technology.
And that's where I wanted to go to next, which yeah. is, to me, it seems like NDSU has laid the groundwork. So the three biggest industries in the state have to go through NDSU.
Mm-hmm.
Ag, energy, and some will call it the UAS, but it's really the technology industry at the end of the day. And that third industry, boy, if we're going to call that technology, that might be the biggest industry in North Dakota in 5 years.
Ultimately, yes.
I mean, is that a fair statement?
Five years
might be aggressive. But
5 years would be aggressive, but not unrealistic as an initial entry phase. What we know is the applications of the UAS up to this point have been primarily military. But
mm-hmm.
that's it was an easily accessible, high resource market niche, but it has very little expansion capacity. And if the rest of the world is paralleling U.S. expenditures on defense, it's actually going to be a shrinking niche.
Mm-hmm.
Agriculture, by most estimates of people in the industry, is not only the next big segment of the industry, but one with virtually limitless potentials. I think we'll get into some interesting things with transportation and such.
And that was Dean Bresciani, president of North Dakota State University. To listen to other full-length interviews, original stories, or special features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And once again, I'd like to thank our fine sponsors. The Crude Life sponsors are quality companies who have ethics at the core and have proven to be positive leaders in their community. I'd like to ask you to please support our sponsors here at The Crude Life. My name is Jason Spies, and I'd like to thank you folks for joining us this week. Be safe and be happy.
And here's to the sound of one hand clapping, and here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world, and here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.